नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय एवं चंद्रमा अर्का गभास्थेभ्यः उपरिष्टाल् लक्ष्ययोजनतः उपलभ्यमानो रक्षस्य संवत्सरा भुक्तिम् पक्षभ्यम् मासभुक्तिम् सुपाधार्थभ्यम् धेनेनैव पक्षभुक्तिम् अग्रच्छरे द्रुतर्थरा गामनो भुङ्क्ते. Word for word, please repeat. Evam, thus, Chandrama, the moon, Arka Gabhasthibhyaha, from the rays of the sunshine, Uparishtat, above, Lakshayojanataha, by a measurement of 100,000 yojanas. Upalabhyamanaha, being situated. Akasya, of the sun glowed. Sangvatsarabhuktim, the passage of 1 year of enjoyment. Pakshabhyam, by 2 fortnights. Masa Bhuktim, the passage of 1 month. Sapada Rakshabhyam, by 2 1/4 days. Dinena, by a day. Eva, only. Pakshabhuktim, the passage of 1 fortnight. Agrachari, moving impetuously. Drutatara Gamanaha, passing more rapidly. Bhunkte, passes through. Translation. Above the rays of the sunshine, by a distance of 100,000 yojanas, 800,000 miles is the moon, which travels at a speed faster than that of the sun. In 2 lunar fortnights, the moon travels through the equivalent of a sangvatsara of the sun. In 2 1/4 days, it passes through a month of the sun. And in 1 day, it passes through a fortnight of the sun. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When we take into account that the moon is 100,000 yojanas, or 800,000 miles, above the rays of the sunshine, it is very surprising that the modern excursions to the moon could be possible. Since the moon is so distant, how space vehicles could go there is a doubtful mystery. Modern scientific calculations are subject to one change after another, and therefore they are uncertain. We have to accept the calculations of the Vedic literature. These Vedic calculations are steady. The astronomical calculations made long ago and recorded in the Vedic literature are correct even now. Whether the Vedic calculations or modern ones are better may remain a mystery for others, but as far as we are concerned, we accept the Vedic calculations to be correct. Om Agyanati Merandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. So, the moon and its proximity to the sun is being described, along with how the moon travels. So one important point that Srila Prabhupada makes in the purport is about whether the whether it was actually the moon was landed on or not, right? In the year 1969, the July 20th, I believe, they had on the TV in America that they landed on the moon. And they showed pictures of the astronauts getting out of the moon lander and landing on the moon. So at the time, Srila Prabhupada was watching this on the TV. And he was saying that they couldn't have landed on the moon. And one devotee that was also there at the time was saying, "But Prabhupada, there's the pictures." And Prabhupada was insisting that no, they couldn't have landed on the moon. So we understand from this verse that the moon is quite a distance away. According to the material scientists, the distance of the moon is about 250,000 miles. But here we see a distance being described of 8,000 miles. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that we accept the Vedas and their calculation. Now, as far as whether they went to the moon or not, there is a figure that about 28% of the population in the United States feels that they never went to the moon, and that the presentation that was made on July 20th, 1969 was an orchestrated hoax. And there was a book written by a man, I forget his name now, but he was part of the research team that was making rockets, booster rockets, that would put the satellites into outer space. So he knew from his actual experience as an engineer working with this company that NASA didn't have a rocket that could actually go 250,000 miles into outer space and turn around and come back another 250,000 miles, even by their material calculations. Along with that, there were like three other reasons that he gave in his book why they couldn't, you know, why it was a hoax. And one of the reasons was is that, you know, the idea was that this big booster rocket brought them up to the moon, and then a lander, a smaller craft, separated from that and came down and landed on the moon, then went back up, connected back to the booster rocket, and then went back to, you know, the Earth planet. So in the photographs of this lander, moon lander, well, first of all, when the astronauts, according to their description, when they got out of the lander, they said that the surface of the moon was dusty, deep dust. Everywhere was dusty. But when the landing craft was going down and they showed pictures of it afterwards, there was no crater of dust. You know, if there was so much force from the rocket that was landing this lander craft, there should have been like so much dust and so much big crater created by the exhaust. Right? But in the photograph, it's just flat. underneath the lander. So that was the first point. And on the four pads that supported the lander on the moon, the photographs don't show any dust on the landing pads. So that's the first thing. The second evidence that he gives is that the moon has no atmosphere. In this earthly planet, we have an atmosphere. And that atmosphere extends up for so many miles. Not that far. Maybe 30 miles up, you can still get atmosphere. Maybe less. You know, and when a plane's up 35,000 feet, that's about 7 miles. You can't breathe up at that. There's no air at that. So, you know, as you go out from the Earth, the atmosphere thins and thins until it doesn't exist anymore. It means there's no air, right? Even people that go up high into the mountains, like Badrinath and Kedarnath, or where is that, Manasarovar, Kailas, so that's, there's so less air up there that it's difficult to breathe, right? So on the moon, there's no air at all. There's no atmosphere, they say. So if there's no atmosphere on the moon, when the astronaut planted the American flag on the ground, it was flapping in the wind. So their point is, how is that? Then the third evidence that this man gives that they didn't actually go to the moon was that the photographic evidence, the photographs, and the lighting of the photographs. On the moon, the only source of light is coming from the sun. So when the sun is shining, whatever is created a shadow from the sunlight, it will all move in a parallel fashion. All the shadows will be parallel to one another, right? One source of light, and there's an obstruction, then the shadow will go in a certain direction. But they see in the photographs that the shadows are running in different directions, this way and that way, which indicates there was more than one source of light. So their conjecture is that they really didn't go to the moon, but actually they were, you know, somewhere, they say, in area number 51 in the Arizona desert, and there was a studio where they photographed everything. So, you know, a good portion of the people in the United States, they don't believe they actually went to the moon. Of course, NASA has a different version. So why would they want to do such a great hoax on the people? Why would they want to do that? Well, their explanation is that in the year 1957, and this has a philosophical conclusion to it, so don't worry. In the year 1957, the Russians put a man in outer space, a cosmonaut, right, and a Sputnik, is what they called a satellite and an astronaut. So the Americans realized that they were far behind in the space program in 1957. Shri Radha Ras Bihari Gorni Tai Sitram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. So a lot of fear came into the minds of the American public. You know, because the Russians had the atomic bomb and the Americans had the atomic bomb, right? So there's a lot of fear. I can remember when I was a small kid, in all of the buildings in the basement, there was arrangement for rations and water, and there was a specific sign that this area was suitable as a bomb shelter. Right? Because the communists had the bomb and the Americans had the bomb, the atomic bomb, so any time the bomb could drop from the Russians. So everywhere there were, in the school I went in, they had a basement. We used to take our lunch in the basement, and that was also a bomb shelter. So there was this fear. And now because the Russians had already reached outer space, and the Americans hadn't, then they could make a missile base on the moon. So many different speculations were going on. So America became very interested to expand their space program. But they weren't very successful at it. They had a lot of failures. Their rockets didn't work. So many different things. They failed at. And part of John F. Kennedy's inauguration speech in 1960, when he became president, or 61, 62, 60, I think, he said that, you know, we'll put a man on the moon, right? But there it was, you know, already 1969, and it hadn't happened yet. And the fact was, according to the Vedic literature, that it couldn't happen. It could never happen. But the United States did this great hoax, according to many people. So, is that possible? Well, you know, we have to analyze what the material world means, right? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that the material world means the cheaters and the cheated, right? So to actually pull off a hoax like that, you have to be a pretty big cheater, right? But don't put it past this material world, because this material world means the cheaters and the cheated, right? And we see it at every stage. Look at the financial markets in the world. It's all about the cheaters and the cheated. You think about the Bombay Stock Exchange and the Harshad Mehta, and who was the other one? Ketan Parekh. Big cheaters, right? They misled so many small-time investors who lost everything. Same thing in the stock market crash of 1929 in America. It was a huge bubble that was going on. People were manufacturing factories, and there was huge sales going on. But the big-time players in the stock market, they knew it was a bubble. Stocks were way overpriced, much more than their actual value. Huh? And in the summer of 1929, they pulled out of the market, the big players. And who was left by October 1929, when the stock market crashed, was the small-time investors that got burnt the most. So cheaters and the cheated, right? In the more recently, you know, I'm using America as an example because that's what I'm familiar with, right? But in the invasion of Iraq, right? You know, America has a history. Its military stance is that they won't strike first. They'll defend. They won't have a preemptive strike, they call it, right? Well, that, for the first time in the history of the United States, that was broken in the Iraq War. America struck first and attacked Iraq. But the reason that they gave for doing that was that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. He had all these poisonous gases and so many other dangerous chemicals that he could kill, you know, hundreds of thousands of people with. So we had, before he used these things, we had to go in there and get them. That was what they said. George W. Bush, what was her name? Condoleezza Rice, Dick Cheney, all great stalwarts. Who wouldn't believe them? And the American public did. And there was a preemptive strike. And that conflict went on for more than a decade. And at the end of it, they realized, they looked all over, they couldn't find any weapons of mass destruction. There were no poisonous gases. There were no dangerous chemicals that were stockpiled by Saddam Hussein. So was it that they just had bad information, right? Bad intelligence? Or was it that they were tricking the American public to make a preemptive strike on Iraq? So it brings us back to the point. It's the cheaters and the cheated. That's the nature of this world, right? Here we see in this verse, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada's explaining that, you know, others may be confused. When Srila Prabhupada was watching the moon landing, one devotee became so confused because Prabhupada was saying they couldn't have landed on the moon. And he even left the movement after that because he was saying, look at it, it's right there in the TV. Right? So he lost faith and he went away. But Srila Prabhupada makes it clear here that the, you know, for others, it might be a mystery, but as far as we are concerned, we accept the Vedic calculations to be correct. Now, I'm a lay person. I'm not going to be able to figure out how to measure the distance to the moon, right? So it's a matter of faith on my part, what I'm going to believe. And faith is something that everybody has, and they put it in something. Some people have faith in the market. Some people have faith in their family. Some people have faith in their country. Some people have faith in their dog. Right? Well, dog's man's best friend, and so, you know, they have faith in their dog. And, you know, people have faith in different things. So it's where you want to put your faith. One has to decide. Everyone has faith. Everyone has to put their faith in something. And, you know, we have information about the Vedic literatures, so we can put our faith there. Of course, Srila Prabhupada explains that real scientific study is to use your scientific knowledge, keeping the Vedic understanding as the basis of it. Like our Sataputra Prabhu. He is no more, but he was a scientist and he wrote books using scientific theories to help us understand better the Vedic conclusion, such as, you know, the sun is near or the moon is further away than the sun. So Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the proper use of science, is to use it to understand the Vedic conclusion. Without that without that Vedic conclusion, then science will always come up with the wrong thing. Maya Pritigyan. They have knowledge, but the knowledge is stolen away by illusion because the very foundation of their knowledge is incorrect. Srila Prabhupada explains that the modern day scientists, their conclusion is that there is no soul, that everything has come about by accident, there is no God, right? So in this way, they miscalculate. And therefore, having a wrong conclusion, even though their formula may be correct, their end conclusion has to be incorrect. If you have a huge equation with so many different parts to the equation, if one part is wrong, the beginning part is wrong, you're definitely going to come up with the, even if you've done all the other parts of the equation correctly, you're going to come up with the wrong answer. So that's the modern day scientist. Their conclusion is there is no soul. Their conclusion is there is no God. And therefore, whatever else they come up with, it is not beneficial. Just like nuclear energy. They've developed nuclear energy. And with that nuclear energy, Prabhupada explains, they've made atomic bombs. So what is that atomic bombs? It's simply a method to kill people wholesale. What is the actual benefit from that? Before, two persons would fight with swords or spears and kill each other in a battle. And now they're so advanced that by one bomb you can kill, everyone in the city. So what is that advancement? It's the same thing as a dog defending his little area. If another dog comes into the dog's area, they bark, right, and show their teeth and fight, right? So Srila Prabhupada used to mention when he went into a country, they would ask for visa and show your passport. Srila Prabhupada would say they are thinking it is their country because they're in the bodily concept of life. But actually everything belongs to God. The Americans thinking that this is my country. But the Americans took it away from the Red Indians. Right? Literally, they stole it away from the Adivasis that were living in the country at the time. Columbus thought he went to India. He was trying to get to India. But actually, he hit North America, right? And the Caribbeans. So he called the people there that he found Indians. But actually, he wasn't in India. He was in North America. But the name stuck on. So even after they realized that it wasn't India, the Adivasis, the original people of North America and South America, they called them Indians. The Red Indians. So they were the ones that were living on the land. And the persons from Europe came, from France, from England, from Spain, Portugal, and they took the land away from them. They either killed them, or they brought diseases from Europe that these people didn't have, and they died off wholesale, like cholera, TB, such things they didn't have. But the people who came from the Europeans' country brought these diseases, and they all died off. So this idea that it's our land is false, Prabhupada said. Srila Prabhupada said the land belongs to God. And therefore the persons who are the devotees of God, they should be allowed to move around free. What is the question of visa? So these immigration people, they are simply the barking dogs of Maya. Maya's dogs. Where is your visa? They are barking. Maya's dogs, Prabhupada said. So the real conclusion is the Vedic conclusion. We may not be able to adjust it in terms of our conditioning in modern world, but it's the actual fact. It's a matter of where we put or place our faith that will be able to actually follow the process. And as we because this whole description of the universe, the other day Adbhuta Hari was given a lecture. I thought it was pretty good, but about the different structure of the universe and this. But every 5 minutes he was saying it requires more research. It requires more research. And that's because it doesn't exactly gel with our conditioning and modern education. So to really understand the structure of the universe, one has to be a self-realized soul, like Srila Vyasadeva, Srila Prabhupada. Then the structure of the universe becomes clear. In the conditioned state, it's difficult for us to really imagine how it works. But if one follows the process of devotional service, by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, and stays in association with devotees. Through that process, gradually one becomes cleared of one's previous conditioning, and one can actually understand what is in this Srimad Bhagavatam, especially this part of the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes? Revati Raman, Prabhuji, Das Brahmachari.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Whoever does the maintenance, they should do better maintenance. This is dust off the, not off the moon, but off of this Vyasasa. Yes.
Prabhuji, Vedic scripture Bhartiyo ka, Bharat ka hai, parantu jab Bhartiyo ko pata hai ki Vedic scripture satya hai, to unhone phir Angrejiyo ki shikshao ko kyu liya? क्या कारण था अंग्रेजी शिक्षाओं को लेने का
अंग्रेजी शिक्षा
या जैसे मैक्स मुलर आया उसने सारी संस्कृति को मेन एजुकेशन को नष्ट किया और अपना एजुकेशन लादा तो भारतीयों क्यों उसको स्वीकार किया क्या कारण था जब वैदिक स्क्रिप्चर
Why did the people of India discard the Vedic knowledge and accept Western education? Right? Why? Well, some people blame the British. Right? And the Indianologist of the British Empire, Max Müller and so many others. But actually, you can't really blame the British. People, due to the effects of Kali Yuga, were already waning away from the Vedic conclusion. Before the British even came, in the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, people were so confused about what was the conclusion of the Vedic literature. Very confused. If you don't have a proper understanding of the Vedic literature, you'll think that the conclusion is about karma, Vedic sacrifices for obtaining the heavenly planets. You'll think it's mentioned in the Vedas. Persons in the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were worshipping, the goddess Kali, as they do today, but then especially, and Durga. Right? So, there are many things contained in the Vedas, but in order to understand them properly, one needs proper guidance to understand what's the conclusion of the Vedas. In the Vedic times, yes, there was karma, Vedic sacrifices, that led one to understand about Gyan, Karma Yoga, Gyan Yoga, right? And then Upasana, worship. So from karma to Gyan to Upasana, worship, and then the highest worship, the worship of God, the worship of Krishna, Vishnu. Vishnu Radhanam Sarvesham. But in order to come to that conclusion, proper guidance is needed. And in Kali Yuga, where is the guidance? Previously, in the Vedic civilization, there was a strong Brahminical culture. But where are the Brahmins? As Kali Yuga progresses, the Brahminical culture deteriorates. The Brahmins no longer function as Brahmins. And so the conclusion of the Vedas is not properly understood. So in that vacuum, when the conclusion of the Vedas is not properly understood, in that vacuum, other things, you know, there can't remain a vacuum in society. If something's not there, something else will come along and fill it up. If the proper conclusion of the Vedic civilization and the Vedic literature is not there, well, then something else will come and fill that vacuum. And it just happened to be the influence of the Britishers and their Western ideas. So the Krishna consciousness movement is an opportunity to reestablish the proper conclusion of the Vedic literatures, to give proper persons an opportunity to again become established in devotional service, right? And the whole idea behind making this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is to give persons an opportunity to come to that platform of pure devotional service, beyond karma, beyond jnana, and in the highest worship of the Supreme Lord, Radha and Krishna. In ragatmika bhakti, raganuga bhakti. Right? But you can't immediately come to that highest worship of Krishna. So in the Vedic times, there was this karma kanda, jnana kanda, upasana kanda, gradually in the Vedic times. But they had long lifetimes. They lived for a long time. So they could go through all those processes. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagyad. In Kali Yuga, we have a short lifespan, shortened. And it keeps getting shorter. Right? So you need the quick, come to the quick conclusion. And that's this process of bhakti. But even in the process of bhakti, you may be chanting the holy name of Krishna, but who is there that can chant all day long like Haridas Thakur? One time a devotee said that now I'm going to only chant. And Prabhupada said, okay, chant. And he went to Mayapur and he was going to chant. But after a very short time, he left Mayapur and gave up his chanting. Right? So Srila Prabhupada has given us this wonderful opportunity to do seva, devotional service. Srila Prabhupada says, we have real senses, and the senses require engagements. Right? If the senses are not engaged properly, what will the senses do? They will do engagement, no doubt. But they'll do engagement in sense gratification. So engaging the senses moment to moment in Krishna's seva is so important. If we don't do that, we may think, I have tilak, I have kanti mala, lal kapra, you know, I'm this or I'm that. But what we actually are in deep maya, if we're not doing Krishna seva. Some persons think I'm a big kirtan leader, or I'm a katha wala, I'm giving katha. But you're giving katha what? 1 hour, 2 hours? And then what? Seva. A fixed service. This is my service. Srila Prabhupada was more pleased to see that somebody was steady in their service, whatever it was. You may be sweeping the temple room floor, but you do it every day, day in, day out, for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and for the pleasure of Krishna. And that would impress. It impresses the Lord. Steadiness. Right? Not one day I'm a big kirtanwala and the next day I am married with 5 children. Right? No, steady. Whatever your service is, be fixed up in a service. Have a service. Never be without service. And steadily do that service. Yes, we need to read and we need to chant. But we also need practical service that we need to do in a very steady fashion and try to progress in that service. Meditate on that service. If you do that, you can attract the attention of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. And if you attract their attention, then one day you'll be fixed in the service of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. If your practice now to make garlands for Radha Krishna, to cook for Radha and Krishna, to sweep the floor for Radha and Krishna, practice steadily. Just like Shyamananda. Shyamananda was before Dukhiya Krishna Das. He was studying under Srila Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan. And Jiva Goswami gave him this service, you sweep with jhadu every day, Seva Kunj. So he was doing that faithfully every day, sweeping Seva Kunj. Right? And then one day he found one bangle. And he didn't see anyone. So he put the bangle in his dhoti and thought, whoever it belongs to, I'll give it to them. Next day again he was sweeping. And some young ladies, some young girls, they came and said, hey, did you find a bangle here? He said, yes, I found a bangle. Here it is. Well, that belongs to our friend. So he said, well, tell her to come here and take it. And they said, no, she's over there behind the tree. So that was Srimati Radharani. And Shyamananda was benedicted with the name Shyamananda and a different kind of tilak. But in any event, it was due to his following that seva of carefully sweeping. Right? And he was under the tutelage of Srila Jiva Goswami, the foremost of philosophical experts. Right? But practical engagement in devotional service. Right? I want to only study. I'm a Brahmin, so I will only study. Well, that's great if you can do it, but can you? In the name of study, where that's not good. Practical service we need. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has various engagements, right? Distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, he emphasized the most. Making life members. Doing all the different services in the temple. All are important. All are in relation to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said it's not that the pujari is putting the garland and he's doing higher service and the devotee that's sweeping the floor, he's doing lower service. Krishna never sees like that. Krishna never sees. He sees all devotees' service according to their faith, according to their attachment, their shraddha, right? Their asakti, the attachment. One devotee may be putting the garland and thinking of his girlfriend. Then what is that? And another devotee may be sweeping the floor, thinking very attentively to do it nicely for the pleasure of Krishna. The idea is to have service, be fixed in service, and gradually we'll become purified, and when we leave this body, we can go back to the spiritual world. Is that okay? Any other questions? You notice also in the calendar, Srila Prabhupada said that Monday is the first day of the... No, Sunday is the first day of the week, and then comes Monday. Right? Sun first, then moon. Yeah.
This is only a small comment. I can remember 45 years ago, I was in Andheri, and in the car came Neil Armstrong, Edwin Aldrin, and Michael Collins, accompanied by some local ministers, and garlanded in open car, and we all smiled to them. And the next day there was a civic reception at the Azad Maidan, and my neighbor who worked in the United States Information Service office gave me a pass to be in the front lines. And these astronauts with their wives, they put on very well. They were smug and cozy and smiling, and it's amazing upon reflection how they can act out so much, so well.
Right. Krishna. Well, it's not so amazing. Well, there's great actors out there, you know. They... So there's two parallel universes. There's the world of the materialist, where it's the cheaters and the cheated. And there's the world of devotional service, where everyone is dependent on the mercy of Krishna. It's just a matter of which world you want to live in. Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Itai Gaur Premanandi.